And one for all. Who's typing there so furiously without their mic muted?
That was me, sorry.
He's a very bad boy. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness and narcotic infection, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. My very special guests are Robert Stanley, Cameron Day and Eve Logan. Their websites are, for those of you who might just be joining us, are evelogan.com, unicusmagazine.com, and ascensionhelp.com. And all of these links and archives will be posted on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. American Freedom Radio has not had its archives updated for a period of time, so you can get the archives for this show at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. Now, the war chest. Now, you're talking about, and it's interesting, the war chest, because you're talking about how they tend to kind of attack chakras, right? Now, this is like the solar plexus chakra, the heart chakra, that kind of thing. And you were talking about a story over the break, Robert, about how somebody was giving you counsel or something like that and removed one of these entities from you, asking if you were sovereign or something. Could you reiterate? Because I didn't hear all of it.
Okay, sorry, dude.
If you want to, unless it's a private thing.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. I'm sharing it because it's important. It's part of the human condition. I'm just part of this whole process. So the new moon of this month, I made a commitment to doing my radio show 5 nights a week. The next day, I fell on the tennis court and fractured my wrist in 2 places. And was not fun. It was because I felt so tired. Mentally, I was alert, but my body, my feet wouldn't move, and I was getting frustrated. So I just kind of thrust myself on the, you know, my upper body went, and my feet didn't follow. And the next thing I know, I'm on the ground in agony. So a couple days later, I went to see the bone surgeon, and he says, you got a 50% chance of not needing surgery. Just be a good boy. I'm like, okay, fine. So I go home. I did the show that night with a psychic surgeon from the UK. And at some point in the show, I'm talking to him and I said, would you take scan me remotely and see if I'm fine? I didn't tell him I'd broken my wrist, but I wanted to see what he would say. And he says, look, okay, I want you to ask yourself a question 3 times. Am I sovereign? So I did it. 3 times. And on the 3rd time, I got a no. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Can I do it again? He said, sure, no problem. So I did it again and I got the no. And I said, okay, I'm getting a no. And he says, well, that would explain this dark blob that's hovering over you with a tendril attached to your solar plexus. And I said, oh God, can you please remove it? And he said, not a problem. So he went through whatever he did. And, I have been feeling much better since then because the thing's been draining my energy. Now, like I said, they go out of their way to attack me or anybody who is exposing them or making their life difficult. Their survival, they feel their survival's threatened, like an animal that's cornered. Well, they're going to get extra vicious. They focus it, and actually, this infection. The best analogy I can give people is like a dog that has rabies. It goes from a loving, obedient, pet to now a severe problem because of the parasite. It becomes vicious, and you can't communicate with it, right? So that's partially what's going on with humans. There's different levels of infection, by the way. I was still able to operate and do my work, but they were impeding me. They were trying to trip me up, and obviously they did. But I still did my show. I'm still doing my show, and I'm still doing this show. And I'm actually doing another show later this evening. So they didn't succeed. In fact, I told you, they have unintended consequences. As they've attacked, almost every time they've attacked me, somehow it's actually made me stronger. I'm more aware. I do more to protect myself or others or expose them. So that's what's going on.
Well, let's say archontic entities are, say, a representation of, for lack of a better word, Satan on this plane of existence. Are there, if there's a Satan on Satan and or demons, sorry, on this plane of existence, then are there angels? Are there other entities that infect people and try to help them or give them a leg up or something of that nature?
Well, yeah, but they don't infect people because they respect free will.
Yes.
That's the main thing. You see, archontic entities use or manipulate humans in such a way that we'll use our own free will to destroy ourselves. And that's really their goal for every person, is to get that person to self-destruct in some way, shape, or form. So they're usurping our free will. Now, benevolent beings will help to guide us, perhaps inspire us, lift us up where they can, but they won't do the heavy lifting for us, because, again, that would make us dependent on them. That would essentially be a free will violation. So there won't be savior ETs coming in to save the day. And in fact, if we do see a scenario like that play out at some point, then we can be fairly certain that those saviors, so-called, will actually be what you might call controlled opposition, or the false light to supposedly oppose the darkness of the archontic beings. They have a fake light, or what they call in occultism the right-hand path. So you have the left-hand path of darkness, of usurping free will, of destroying others, and then you have the right-hand path of the false light, as I call it. So they have things. Go ahead.
Because you know what occurred to me there is satanic sacrifice. Because they will grab a child off the side of the street. This is why there were once upon a time so many children on milk cartons, and why there aren't anymore, because just not enough frickin' milk cartons. There's that many kids being taken and sacrificed. Right. And what's been, and this is a really horrific subject, and we touched on this yesterday. And I'm sorry for anybody who's sensitive, because just to hear about this topic can be really harsh. What they do, according to some sources, I can't verify this, is they torture the child in a ritualistic way, so that the child's fear and terror peaks at such a level that they're capable of feeding off this energy, and indeed it enriches the blood with adrenaline. And so on and so forth, so that when they murder the child, they will drink the blood and get high off it. Is that sort of what we're talking about here?
Well, that's the ultimate, let's say, descension into evil and archontic infection, yes. So the people that are engaging in this, the people that are, let's say, going through their levels with their secret society and quote unquote ascending to higher levels within that left-hand path, they are getting themselves more and more infected with these beings, with this infection of darkness, so that to them it becomes not only okay to do such horrible acts, but it becomes normal. It becomes part of what they are and who they are.
There's also a benefit, Cameron. The doctor that contacted me, who worked in the prison system, told me that there are inmates who know that they're possessed, that they're having a relationship with these things, and that they actually, I think someone alluded to this before, I think it was Vinny, said that people have heightened, this is what the doctor told me. They said stronger, heightened psychic awareness, and they don't need to sleep as much. And really what that is the parasite is looping back some of that energy into the person that they're possessing. So it's not a symbiotic relationship, but it is a relationship. This is, like they say, selling your soul to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
These people that you're talking about doing these things, the rush of, it's not just energy they're getting. They're actually getting a heightened sense of sexual, awareness, psychic and sexual awareness. And it's because that the parasite is feeding off of them and giving some of it back to the host, so it can be a more effective front person for them.
Correct.
So it's
correct.
Kind of so, like, what was it? I play this game called Dawn of War. It's based on a future society about 40,000 years in the future. One of the armies within this thing are called Chaos. And what the motivation behind its soldiers are is to obtain higher levels within the Chaos hierarchy, to obtain power of the dark gods. And essentially, this is what they achieve. They actually achieve more strength. more power and more viciousness as they ascend up the rankings of chaos. And this is the reason for their devotion, is because and the reason for their defection from their original legions of soldiers that worked for the Empire of Man is because they felt that they were capable of actually being, in reality, rewarded for their faith in the dark gods rather than their faith in what they believed to be a false god, which was the Emperor of Man.
Hmm.
Well, there's a perfect example of essentially the Archontic agenda advertising.
Recruiting.
That's a recruitment tool. That's a way to indoctrinate people into thinking that, if I can sell my soul, well, I'm not really using that. You know, if I can get some power out of the deal, sure, I'll go for it.
Mm. Yeah. Now, incidentally, the symbol of the Empire of Man, which are allegedly the good guys in this scenario, is a two-headed eagle, which is the symbol of the 33rd degree of Freemasonry.
Yeah.
And Whistleblower has come out, James Wright, in fact, I was speaking with him last night, saying that once you obtain the 33rd degree, he said it is guaranteed that you are open and quite likely demon-possessed at that point.
Oh, well, it starts a lot sooner than that. But,
yes, it does.
He says that at the 33rd, that's when it's guaranteed that you are. There's no turning back. That's right. When you're fully possessed. Anybody beneath that, there's a possibility of turning back, but not once you reach the 33rd degree.
Okay.
Cameron, I haven't shared this with you yet, but one of the things I found out about the jinn is that Solomon had employed them, and he had somehow contained them, sort of like, you know, the legend of you put a genie in a bottle.
Right.
Somehow Solomon was into magic, if you recall, right? So he found some way to contain these jinn in a bottle or container, and he employed them.
I once drank jinn that was contained in a bottle.
Now, Vinny, this is, you got to be serious for just a moment with me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The punchline is this, if you have to have one. Solomon is famous in Masonic circles for building his temple, right? Except he didn't build it. In the lore, there's this mythical figure named Hiram Abiff, who was murdered by two thugs who were trying to get the secret of how he built a temple without a hammer or nails. Are you familiar with this? You heard the story? Okay, no. So if you're an initiate, they're saying you become Hiram Abiff, and you're going to learn the secret of how he built the temple, Hiram Abiff never existed. It's just a front. Actually, as I said, what I found out recently is that Solomon used the jinn, and they built the temple. They manifested this for him. It's one of the reasons it fell, because everything they do is unsustainable. It's parasitic / predatory. It's not symbiotic. It's not sustainable.
There's an organic equivalent to this. It's actually cancer.
Yeah.
Cancer, via its makeup, would actually live forever if it didn't kill the host.
Correct, because the cells keep dividing and dividing and dividing. Unlike somatic cells in our body, you're right, they don't. Stem cells are the only ones that actually keep replicating infinitely. So you're right. Something's been switched off. Here's, if you can indulge me for a minute. This is my understanding of the backstory of humanity, that originally this was a perfect universe. And at some point, some of our ancestors literally ventured out of this universe through some sort of stargate or wormhole. They were warned not to go, but they did it anyway, thinking they would be fine. Once they got there, they went mad. I know now that what had happened is that they literally became infested. And then when they got back, they were absolutely insane, and they went on a rampage. They became the scourge, and they started to spread the infection, and they literally destroyed entire solar systems. And in fact, when they came to this solar system, it was a paradise. All life in especially this world, it was a perfect biosphere. All life was just gigantic. Even a dragonfly had a 6-foot wingspan, right? People lived to be very long. They were peaceful. There was no war or disease up until the time that the fallen ones came. They destroyed this planet, and they killed millions of people, and they enslaved whoever they could capture, and whatever DNA they could capture, they manipulated. So this whole thing about the Sumerian gods, they were actually false gods in the sense that they had descended into darkness, and all they wanted was a slave species that would serve them. So they don't create, they only manipulate. And that's the problem. They've been here for thousands of years. And they lie to us. They lie. They can't tell the truth either, and they can't come out of the closet, so to speak. And if they do, like we were saying earlier, I think Cameron mentioned, if you see this coming suddenly, like the Vatican has been in intimating that they want to make nice with aliens and that they may actually be free of sin, well, they better prove it. They better have some proof of this, because you know my whole thing. If you've ever followed my research in Washington D.C., somebody's been coming. UFOs, extraterrestrials have been in Washington D.C. for a long time, and they're manipulating things from behind the scenes. This is where the story of the Exorcist actually comes from. It's a boy who was possessed in 1948. He was a 13-year-old boy. The Vatican had to intervene, and there was multiple exorcisms performed on the boy in Washington D.C. and Chicago until he was clear. But was he clear? I mean, they're obviously, all the exorcisms they're doing are not working. They're actually on the rise. The number of them is on the rise. So they're completely ineffective, in my opinion.
Can I interject? Go ahead. Because there are many within the Christian movement who believe that the beast, as referred to in the Bible, actually is the Vatican. So if right. they're attempting on that basis, and it may or may not be true, but on that basis, if they're actually performing exorcisms, maybe they're actually simply trying to give more power to these entities that they truly worship.
Well, in the 60s, their lead exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth, has said that Satan had infiltrated the Vatican at that time. I mean, I don't know, but he has recently come out and said that that these things are in the frequency of exorcisms is on the rise, and yet, sort of like the pedophilia that's going on, it's being largely ignored by the Vatican. And that disturbs me. I find that very disturbing indeed.
I think that the signature of the archons is patriarchal dominated religions, which the Vatican is a clear example of.
All right, well, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. This is going really fast. I've already been here for like nearly an hour and 20 minutes, and it's just shoo. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. You might miss it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Okay, we're going to spend the last two segments talking about defensive and offensive tactics against the archontic entities. We have a list of words here, and we're going to have to go through them really quickly in order to cover them. I think we might not even get to the end of the list. Okay, first is shielding. Who would like to take that one up?
Well, I'll jump on that real quick. So you need to find a method that works for you. Use some form of geometry that works for you. I have a couple of articles on my blog at ascensionhelp.com of how to shield. Essentially, it's a matter of making your energy field as solid and sovereign and impenetrable as possible.
Okay, and how would you go about that?
Well, it starts with connecting with your higher self. You connect with Mother Earth. You get the core of your heart connected to the core of the planet, and then you generate a geometric shape around yourself. I like the octahedron as a starting point, which is two pyramids base to base. It's one of the platonic solids. From octahedrons, then I'll put a sphere around that, and then you can put, if you want to keep going, you can keep adding shapes. You can add a cube. You can keep going in layers. It depends on how fancy you want to get. But at the very base level, you want to at least be visualizing a golden sphere of light around yourself and declare that you are sovereign within that field.
Like a circle of protection based on faith, not entirely dissimilar from how a Christian believes that Jesus will save them kind of thing.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you the difference, though, is if you're always looking for someone else to save you, you can never save yourself. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's because what I was trying to tell you before, we're all gods in the state of becoming. We're all seeds of light. Our souls are seeds of light. And this is just one of an infinite number of universes that were born out of very mature seeds of light. It's an organic process. It's a holographic fractal. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
And that's what we mean by obtaining the higher self. Yeah. Now, the word sovereign, I'd like to jump on that. In fact, we already covered that, didn't we, earlier? Okay, next word is love. Eve, would you like to weigh in here?
Well, I mean, love is definitely the answer for so many things. But one of the things that one has to do really to even receive love or give love is to heal one's own wounds of the heart and the soul. Mm-hmm. And that needs to happen so that our blind spots are removed and we can perceive what's happening and be able to give and receive love more freely. So I'm actually a proponent of self-empowerment and really trying not to seek outside yourself for help from any other deities if you can, just connecting deeply with your soul and with like what I call the divine feminine and the intelligence of the living planet. And then that helps give you much more power, and realizing your own empowerment is a greater confidence builder and really helps you. Otherwise, you're going to be running from one shaman to the next or one exorcist to the next, and sometimes these things just don't help. So really connecting and then taking responsibility for healing your own self.
Incidentally, the American Medical Journal also states that where you're likely to find psychopaths is religious gurus.
Oh, that was a big one.
Yeah, that was in my book. Like a large percentage of the psychopath types that are hosted were gurus or some kind of religious minister or claiming to be so. And that's really high on the list, those types.
Mm-hmm. Now, next word is creating love in your environment. How exactly do you accomplish that?
Well, it starts with yourself, with your relationships, right? You have to love yourself. You have to heal the pain of your past, like Evie mentioned, and then find people that are willing to do the same thing for themselves. Because if you're with someone who refuses to work on themselves, refuses to heal, they're going to be constantly pulling you down and blaming you for their own emotional state. So associate with people that are willing to do the work on themselves and willing to love themselves. That way you can love each other from not a place of needing love, but rather extending and expressing a natural outflow of expansive love.
I think that's one of the reasons that Christ admonished us to love our enemies. First, love your neighbor, but also love your enemy, because actually what the archons feed on is when we hate our enemies or hate anyone or hate, period. So loving the enemy actually diffuses. It's with one of the techniques, one of the tools we can use. It's difficult. Honest, it's easier for me to say that than actually do it sometimes, I know. But it's just something I highly recommend to people to consider doing that on a regular basis. It's tough.
Yeah. I absolutely love David Rockefeller. He's my homie. I will snuggle him with big, nice bear hugs.
I'm sorry. Good on you, mate.
You know, it's hard to do that. I mean, it's really hard to love your enemies unless you've gone through your own healing process. And part of that really is the grieving process, which I go into in my book, The Dark Side of Cupid, because a lot of times people actually omit their own grieving process. And if you omit that aspect of your healing, you know, giving and receiving love is not as easy. And then you're not as empowered.
Now, also, this means, of course, loving thy enemy isn't necessarily about approaching them and trying to help them and things like that. It's just about sort of just having that that love for them, just saying, you know, that's fine, you know, I love you anyway, and so on and so forth. But I'm not going to associate with you whatsoever because you're going to try and kill me and corrupt me otherwise, right?
It's also about taking responsibility for your emotional state. That's part of being sovereign. Instead of letting them provoke you or distract you from who and what you really are and your life's purpose as a God in a state of becoming, every time they get you angry, you just convert it. You transmute it. You just transmute it to a love vibration instead of hatred.
Hmm. It's hard, all the kind though. Of the golden circle around you is about, like ancient magi talked about circles of protection that they were capable of casting around themselves to protect them from dark spells and so on and so forth.
It is, but it's also, I think, it's allegorically speaking, it's part of what alchemy is about, transmuting lead to gold.
And speaking of transmuting lead to gold, focus on joy is the next words that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I think that I'm really good at this because I'm capable of turning, like, look at this. People come to me and they're in a real bad state, okay? I've had people on the verge of crying, on the verge of committing suicide, on the verge of just attacking others, And I'm capable of, through listening, through caring, through a giving of myself and my own energy to them, completely flipping it around. And even after only a few minutes of conversation with me, sometimes I can change your entire worldview from everything's against me, nothing is worth living, to, hey, you know what? Stuff ain't that bad after all.
Yeah, we all need some support. Actually, the random acts of kindness are extremely powerful. And, you know, as far as uniting with, giving that sense of connection, of unity with another human being is something that the Archons hate. That's, I mean, they fear it. They do not want us to unite. They're constantly provoking us and turning one against the other, divide and conquer.
Yeah, that's the support and the community and empathic communication is really important. And that helps so much have someone to talk to.
Eve, can you clarify as well? Because this is part of the divine feminine, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's connecting and relationship and community and support and, you know, the sacredness of life and really valuing those things in our community and our relationships, which has really been gone thrown out the window in a rushed Western society. It's people are not connecting with one another anymore. They're staying on their cell phones or their TV or their computer, and they're not really connecting one-on-one, you know, speaking the truth and compassionately communicating. So that's a real big part.
Can I also say that there's also a suppression of the divine masculine as well? Robert, would you be able to explain, like, what's the difference here? Well, not necessarily the difference, but what are the aspects of the divine masculine here? Because I thought it was like a protection kind of thing.
No.
Providing or
nurturing?
Have I got this wrong? Nurturing.
I have a teenage son, and I raised him because my wife is working in a corporate setting. I was too, but... hey, she makes more money, so I work at home. Why not? And I've seen a huge difference because I did not have that connection with my father, and I think it diminished me greatly until I finally resolved my issues internally and then externally with my father. So I do believe there has been a movement towards what they call stay-at-home dads, and that level of nurturing for any child, whether it be a boy or a girl, is highly important to know that you're there to protect them but also to guide them. To show them boundaries and also praise. It's really important for the nurturing, the development of that particular child into a full-blown, very, intact adult.
Well, you need both of those divine aspects in order to become a complete whole, don't
Correct.
You?
Yes.
Boys need the divine feminine and the divine masculine just as much as girls do.
Of course, absolutely, but I do
Which
think
is incidentally
that,
why the Archons are trying to destroy the family unit.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. They're diminishing the role of a father as being insignificant, at least in Western culture, in the media. They're making fathers look very inept and inconsequential, and that's not true, in my
Peter
opinion.
Griffin and Homer Simpson.
Absolutely. No, actually, Family Guy, because I'm in Rhode Island. I see that character is a... I used to think that was a cartoon until I moved here. It's actually a documentary. Sorry to say. Sorry, folks. Rhode Island, New Englanders, love you guys. It's my new home. But, wow, there's a lot of strangeness going on here. So, anyway.
Right. Hence the talking dogs on a leash, incidentally.
Yes. Yeah, now, right.
Most of them wear New York City police uniforms. Now, next word we have on the list is connect to nature. And Cameron, I'd like your perspective on this because you've actually moved into the woods.
Yes, I live in the woods. I have for many years, and I kind of take it for granted, but it's so important that you connect with nature, that you get your feet, bare feet, on the ground somewhere. Even if you're in a city, find a park or in your backyard if you have lucky enough to have a yard in the city or whatever. Get your feet on the ground, close your eyes, and sync up your heart with the heart of the planet, the very core of Mother Earth, because she is the mother of humanity. She is an incredibly powerful being. And when you can listen to her, she'll help you. She will guide you. She will give you insight. She will strengthen your energy field so you'll be less susceptible to ankle biter intrusions. Sorry, I call the Archons ankle biters because calling them Archon gives them, I think, a little too much authority. So I like to laugh at them, call them ankle biters, tease them a bit. It helps to kind of burst their bubble. But when you're connecting with Mother Earth, she will strengthen you against any form of opposition.
And indeed, part of the mechanism for this is to turn off your fracking cell phone, get away from cell phone towers, EMF radiation. And indeed, those of you who are listening online or watching this on YouTube, you can go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, and watch the interview with Paul Waddell, W-A-D-D-E-L-L. He's one of only three people in New Zealand who's qualified to test for EMF radiation. And the amount of information that he disclosed during that program about the effect of this on your body is absolutely startling, okay? And this is coming from a radio show host like me who hears every day about how we're being penetrated by ruthless criminal sociopaths and how they're trying to hatch their schemes to exterminate us. And he made me freak out all over again like I'd never heard it before. So facing your own shadow is next. Eve, do you want to take that one?
Oh, yes. Well, that's absolutely true, because our own shadow is really our own unhealed wounds from the past, and it could even be former lifetimes. But and that stays in the subconscious, and then it projects outward. So whenever there's pain that's not being addressed or not conscious, then that will be projected out and creating a weakness and a blank spot in our perception so that, you know, these entities and beings could attack us. So really facing our own darkness is a really big way of dealing with it, and really loving ourself and loving and healing that part of ourself.
One thing that helps with that is our next word here, getting out of bad relationships.
Absolutely. You have to set boundaries against those who are harmful to relating in a healthy, harmonious way, and really set firm boundaries. You just can't allow that, which means, you know, sometimes isolating yourself and healing in nature until you get back in involved in relationships. And you have to be strong enough in yourself and your own connection with nature before you get involved with others sometimes, just to build that strength again.
Mm. Okay, and forgiveness. This is another one, and we only have one more word left, and we've got 2 minutes. We might have actually covered all of these defensive mechanisms in a segment. That's good. Robert, what about forgiveness?
It's one of the toughest, I find, but it's one of the most profoundly healing things that you can do. I mean, you have to be genuine about it. Forgive yourself first. That's how I did it. Start with forgiving yourself first, and then work genuinely. Forgive yourself, and then you can start forgiving others. And what it does is it just drops a lot of the baggage that we tend to carry around, and which drains our energy and weakens us.
And last one here, apologies. Archons, psychopaths, not only don't apologize, they can't.
No, they justify their – they always justify their actions or blame others. And, you know, one of the things I was saying on the break that you didn't hear, Vinny, is some people have accused me of saying, you know what, all you're doing is creating a scapegoat for bad behavior. And I say, no, I'm actually saying that we have to be even more responsible for our emotional state and our actions, because we know, as awake beings, we know the real game here. So it's incumbent upon us and anybody who's awake to actually be more, take more responsibility, a greater responsibility is placed on us once you know what's really going on here.
Now, this is also a way that you can identify these creatures within your midst. If they've done something to you and you ask them to apologize and they don't, that's a big, big red flag. It may not be 100% kind of, you know, I can just suddenly write them off as a psychopath. But if they've never apologized to you for anything, ever, always blame somebody else, always say that it's, oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way about it, and put it back on you, then it's becoming a heck of a lot clearer. And a whole bunch of people in my circle of friends suddenly come to mind for some reason. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And by the way, I've got to give big ups, yo, to my board op, and in fact, the board op at American Freedom Radio at the moment. Have the fading in and out of the show today, the ad breaks, and even off air. He has shown remarkable talent, skill, and discipline that you would expect from a producer of the highest caliber. And I'm just big ups, respect, salute, and whatnot for that, bro. Wicked job, wicked job. it's been full on professional today, yo, by all means and standards. Now, we only have one more segment left, only a few minutes. So we kind of want to open this up to sort of closing statements, wisdom, philosophy, something important, something personal, something meaningful. I don't know what anybody's going to say with such an open-ended question. And because the talent in this room is such, I think it would be impossible for me to know what you're going to say, and hence why I'm asking the question, because I want to know the answer.
Ladies first.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and shoot. Is that what's worked for me in my life is really actually working on thinking more positive and doing my own healing work, connecting with the divine feminine and really tuning into love, a lot of love and bliss that's been entering my life through connecting with the earth. And when I can maintain that state and stay in that frequency with friends and relationships, I feel much more protected. I'm also able to help my clients better. So really maintaining that level of beingness certainly helps.
Go ahead, Cameron.
Well, I'm going to say, first of all,
By the way, don't feel like you need to cut yourself short or anything. You know, we've got a number of minutes that you can speak each.
Okay. So I'm going to say to get to know who you really are, get rid of who you think you are, because that's not really you. That's just an identity that you formed in this life. A conception of yourself based on a limited understanding, based on being born in a state of amnesia. So work on getting rid or at least paring down that false identity so that the real you can emerge, so that you can understand who and what you really are, so that you can understand that you are a sovereign, powerful being and that you're here for a specific purpose and that you are in partnership with, you are in an ecstatic dance with this beautiful planet. You are part of her, you are emanating from her, and you are part of the solution to this problem, to the archontic dilemma. Human beings are action takers. We are the ones that will take the action that will eventually result in the removal of these beings from, let's say, the universe as we perceive it to be. So get deep into yourself. Find all of the blocks that are preventing you from knowing who you are. Find all of the stored frozen emotions that are locked in the subconscious. Take your power back from them. Reclaim that energy so that you can be unified, whole, sovereign, and loving. And loving yourself, then turn that love around, love those around you, set your healthy boundaries. If someone is a taker of your energy, cut them off. Do it lovingly, but set that boundary and populate your life with the type of people that you want to be exposed to, the type of people that you would like to have rub off on you. Because whether
can
you
I
like
interject
it or not,
here, camera, sure. Cameron, this is what YouTube and Facebook and Skype really are great for me because they have something called a block function. Somebody comes in, they're sucking your energy, they're insulting you, they're being a douchebag, block, and you never hear from them again. Oh, right.
Now, unfortunately, you can't always block the trolls in your real life quite so easily, but nonetheless, you still should set that healthy boundary. Just tell them, look, this isn't working out, I need a break. And maybe that break will last a little while, maybe it'll be permanent, but either way, I need a break from you. And just put it out there. You know, the worst that can happen is that they're going to psychically bombard you. But if you know a few techniques, I give quite a few techniques away at ascensionhelp.com. So you can go there and make those part of your energetic maintenance packet, if you will. Maintain your energy. That's really important. You know, keep your energy clear, keep yourself focused, and don't let the haters drag you down.
Also, I think that last segment, I'm going to put that in as a short clip because those are all the techniques that we could really come up with off the top of our heads of how to deal with these creatures. Robert.
Yes, it's important for us. It's very important for us to realize who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. And that's what I was saying before. the process of creation is holographic fractal. And the example I use is you can hold an entire oak tree in your hand in the form of an acorn. When you place it in the ground, it becomes a mighty oak tree that eventually, when it's mature enough, it drops thousands of acorns. Now, not every one of those acorns will develop into a tree, but they could, right? And that's the analogy I use for our souls. We are all seeds of light, and we were born in the when a particular mature soul left its parent universe, moved off into space, which I believe is infinite, and it bloomed. And in that blooming process, everything in this universe was born, including us. This is the thing about a hologram. You can break it again and again and again, and it always has this pattern of energy or information repeating itself again and again, infinitely. Each time it's a little different, sort of like a snowflake. Each one is different, but it's still a snowflake. Well, that's true for our souls. We are seeds of light. We are gods in a state of becoming. And our consciousness is key to all this, because consciousness is primary, despite what we're being taught or lied to about there is no designer, there is no consciousness. It sort of just randomly occurs, right? It's a mutation. It's all mutants. We're all mutants. But in fact, consciousness is primary. Our ability to visualize or conceive things in the mind, it's not a process of the brain. It's part of our soul. Our soul is actually consciousness, energy, and matter. We don't always project ourselves into a body, but we are always an intelligent living energy. So actually everything, it turns out, is consciousness, energy, and matter, which is the same thing in different phase states or vibratory rates. Just like a drop of water can be a solid, liquid, or gas, consciousness can be consciousness, pure consciousness, energy, or matter. So these are very important things. I think we're disoriented, and we need to know these things. And so these conversations are just not idle gossip or speculation. I think this is actually very empowering. The fact that we came together, took the time and energy and focused this our consciousness towards the higher purpose of our not evolution or ascending. I think we are actually always going to be in a state of becoming. Our growth has been impeded by these parasites. And as we become aware of it and we take actions to remedy the situation, to heal ourselves and others, then I think we're going to make up for all the ground we've lost and actually then some. I really think this is actually strengthening us. I've seen this happen in my life so many times that every time they've attacked me, it's actually motivated me in a way that I probably, like, look, I guarantee you I wouldn't have been sitting up on that mountain meditating like my life depended on it that night if they hadn't attacked me. I probably would have been doing a mundane thing like watching television, drinking beer. Maybe not that bad, but I mean, I'm saying, right? I mean, just a normal thing as a 25-year-old guy chasing girls and wanting to have fun, right? Not sitting up on a mountain meditating like,
yoga.
True, indeed. But it was not like I wasn't trying to ascend. I just needed assistance. I was doing something for myself, actually, and I was glad that they assisted me, but they didn't do the work for me. They just have guided me through the lesson plan, like a teacher, you know. They don't do the lessons for you. They give you the lesson plan, and they say, okay, well, you missed something here. You need to go back over that. And that's what the divine ones do for us.
Mm. Anyway. Now, there's something that's actually reminded me of in this last segment here, where you've been given your closing statements. It's actually the start of a poem by William Blake. And I want you to do something with me right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not driving, and also the guests on the show, I just want you to close your eyes for a second and just listen to the words of my voice, just for these lines. To see a world in a grain of sand, and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. Okay, that's all. This is something that I believe really kind of encapsulates what we're talking about here to a large degree, because we are infinite consciousness, okay, and there is that much potential that within each and every one of us, that even though we may appear to be a grain of sand, we can be an entire world. Even though we may just be one little flower that looks pretty, we can be heaven. We can hold infinity in our very hands and eternity within any small space of time. That's why this is the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. That's why it rushes by so quickly. We've just done eternity in 2 hours. Okay. So I hope you've all enjoyed this show. And I really want to show my appreciation not only to our producer, Adam, for his incredibly professional work for producing today's show, but also Mel Ryan, who actually put this little roundtable together and has indeed been organizing some of the guests for me of late. I really appreciate that, because it's when we work together that we can accomplish more than any one of us can do on our own. And it ain't about ego. It ain't about, oh, I'm the host, so I'm better than you. It's about, I can't accomplish everything that I want to without you. And I want to let you guys know that I really appreciate your wisdom and your insight and all of your work and what little of it that I've experienced here today. Eve Lorgan from evelorgan.com, Robert Stanley from unicusmagazine.com, and Cameron Day from ascensionhelp.com have been my guests. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you, like every reasonable person should take this show to heart. Let's hope that the love that we use to defend ourselves from scumbaggery becomes infinite as well. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again sometime at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.